Father's Day has always been special for us. I was deeply impacted back in 1997 by a move of God that broke out in 1995 on Father's Day, interestingly enough, in a town called Pensacola, Florida. And it was a powerful move of God that deeply touched our hearts. Also, when our family relocated back here 13 years ago today, we were in the pulpit leading our Durham congregation on Father's Day. That was our first day back into America's orbit, as it were. And but it's always held just a special place, obviously signifying our heavenly, amazing dad that he is. So we ready to go this morning? You doing good? Bump your neighbor and say, how you doing today? Tell them you're looking pretty fine, pretty, you know, for the most part, looking pretty good over there. All right. Well, I'm going to start off a little interesting this morning. You may think, dear Lord, where are you going? But at any rate, and this band that I'm going to reference is going to date me a little bit. The younger generation, you would not, be that familiar. I just turned a corner, 54, so I'm dating myself. And I was not a fan of this band, but there was this band that was formed in Los Angeles by a guy named Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee. Can y'all tell me the name of the band? Motley Crue, and Motley they were indeed. But they were a best-selling band, and they sold 75 million records worldwide. And several weeks ago, I was looking at the Biography Station. How many of y'all ever watch Biography? And it's quite fascinating as they unpack the life of an individual. But they were actually featuring Nikki Sixx, who was the bass player and the co-founder of this band, this heavy metal band called Motley Crue. And they were unpacking his life. And it was a horrible young upbringing, to say the least. And right after he was born, his father left him and his mother. I mean, right on the heels of him coming into the world, his dad took off, left he and his mom. His mother was known for her long list of boyfriends. Even Richard Pryor was on that list, but had just a string of boyfriends. And Nikki was often swapped between his mother and his grandparents, just depending on which situation of hellish living was the less. But he was always being swapped back and forth, moving numerous times to numerous places. He basically became a man of the street. His mother eventually abandoned him. He was even eventually kicked out of her home. He attended 7 schools within 11 years. And so he became a teenage vandal, breaking into neighbors' homes, shoplifting, being expelled from school. And so he was basically giving to drug dealing, selling drugs, living on the street. And there was one time he OD'd, he overdosed, and he was pronounced clinically dead. But the interesting thing is, and we've got a picture of old Nikki here, there he is. Not exactly, I'm sure, your Sunday school teacher growing up. But anyway, that's Nikki Sixx there. So thank you for that. All right, you can take that off now. Very good. But at any rate, his name was not even Nikki Sixx. That name was actually the name of his ex-girlfriend's ex-boyfriend. And he liked the name, except it was spelled S-Y-X, and he put S-I-X, added an X. And at first he thought, well, maybe Nikki 7. He called, no, that's not cool enough, Nikki. So he basically borrowed the name and tweaked the spelling a bit. But he was, in reality, born Frank Carlton Serafino Ferrano Jr., and he was of Italian descent. So how in the world you get Nikki Sixx from that, I don't know. But at any rate, I mean, Frank Carlton Serafino Ferrano Jr. And so, but here's the interesting point that struck me as I'm watching this documentary of Biography on this rock star. When he was asked in an interview on this program, why Did you change your name later in life? He replied, well, my father wasn't there for me, so I changed my name. Loaded. My father wasn't there for me. My dad wasn't there, so I chose not to take his name. I changed it. I thought, wow, loaded comment. And it was true. His identity was marred because of a father issue, which is not too uncommon a story. And among other things, the abandonment created this conflicted alter identity with deviant behavior and tortured life choices. But when I heard that, I mean, y'all know a preacher can get something out of anything. I mean, I'm just, you know, and I'm thinking, this, there's something in what he's saying here. But my mind immediately went to Matthew 28, the last words of Jesus, Matthew 28, 19, where Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I began to think, wow, what a contrast. What a contrast. We have been baptized into the family name. We've been given the name of our Father as our point of identification. We're baptized in that name, thus being given a new identity that will result in new life and behavior. We've been given His name. We've been given His name. We were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit. We are called Christian now. Christian. Acts 11, 26 says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Very early on, they took the name Christ, Christ follower. In other words, I'm belonging to Him. There's a new identity, a new direction, a new master, a new Lord, new life. We've been given His name, baptized into His name, living a new life because of a certain identification. Paul said to the church in Rome, in Romans 6, 4, he said, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Oh, thank God for miracles. They do happen every day. The born-again experience, y'all, is the greatest miracle, where there's the turning of a new heart, where old things pass away and all things become new, and we're adopted into this family of faith. We take the name of our dad. That's a powerful thing. Huge implications. No one in their right mind would willingly be baptized in a name that they did not esteem, that they did not revere, that they did not want public identification with. And we are willingly, when we go into the waters of baptism or when we call on that name, we are willingly identify, yes, I take on that name. Yes, I need to take on that nature for a new course and a transformation of heart and life. See, our identity determines our life patterns and direction in life. Y'all, identity can be everything for us. Identity. 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 How many of y'all know we're in an identity crisis right now in our nation? Hello. Gender identity. Ethnic identity. I mean, now there are words like, I don't even want to... I mean, now there are those that feel like, I don't feel like my right arm is a part of who I really am. So therefore, I sever my right arm. I mean, there are all kinds of in these days that we're in confusion, the good news is that God will blow the haze away from our gaze so that we can have correct definitions. It's not a mockery. It's a painful thing to say, oh, that God would break in and bring forth and shine His love. These songs we sang about earlier this morning were so fitting on Father's Day because they were about the love of God, the love of a father, and it transforms. What most people need, as the song goes, what the world needs now is what? It's not real deep, you see. Most folk just need their love tank up. That's most of what makes people tick. Just knowing that I'm approved, just knowing that I'm loved, just knowing that I don't have to strive and huff and puff for, you know, this reward that I may never get, always dangling it, but I'll never have any assurance that I could ever get it. There are some faiths and religions that regardless of how well you supposedly live your life, there's still no confidence that you can ever really know who can live up under that. Who can live up under the uncertainty of not knowing? But yet our spirit bears witness with His spirit that we have become the children of God. And it does something to us. We take on a new name, a new nature. And then we realize I don't have to perform or do anything to earn Father's love. Y'all, that's huge. Father wounds everywhere in the land. But that's not the last word. We can be healed. You may think, oh, I'm suffering from a broken heart. It's okay. Jesus can heal a broken heart. And He can breathe affection and He can smear the ointment of His anointing and favor and fill our tank and take that which the enemy has racked and restore the years the locusts have eaten and give a brand new nature and a brand new purpose, a brand new direction. That's a powerful thing. So it's not how far I've fallen, but oh, the grace of God that went down to get me. And the grace of God that was pursuing me. It's really simple. That's why the scripture says God is love. He's love. What is He going to give? He's going to dispense love. That's why I can't fathom why anyone would turn away from the invitation of Christ. As a campus minister, I used to go out on campuses and say, why would anyone reject Jesus? Excuse me. Why would you reject Jesus? Who would do it knowingly? It's not like He's saying, I want to so lavish you and love on you. And we go, rah, and we stiff arm. He is love. That's what He's trying to dispense. And when we are touched in our inner man with that kind of powerful reality, woo, everything begins to work right. We don't have to obsess with our dysfunction and what we didn't receive and an authority figure that did us wrong and how we were deprived and the deficiencies here, here, and here. And we can turn the corner and begin to become that new creation. I mean, dear me, some of the people that God uses, you ought to read the backstory. You ever heard the backstory of Joyce Meyer? You talk about dark. You talk about sinister. How in the world did she turn the corner? The love of the Father brought her out of that broken, vandalized situation, violated though she was, in the most of unnatural ways. It's just wrong on so many levels. But the love of God touched her life, enabled her to turn a corner. And we can do the math. Dear me, I've not been to that depth. If He can do that for her, that same love will do it for me. The love of God just surpasses understanding. And that's why our identity is so critical. Knowing and understanding who the Father is helps us understand who we are. Because, see, we take the family name. Understanding His nature defines us as sons and daughters. Make sense? So, therefore, we don't have to go out on our own to try to define ourselves in some kind of creative, novel way. Understanding who He is, the job's already done. We're already defined. Loved of God. In the Beloved. Unfailing love. It's already defined who we are after we acknowledge who He is. So our identity and understanding that is so critical to how we live our lives. See, identity determines behavior. Identity determines behavior. And when people don't really know who they are, then they live a life as if they don't quite know what they're doing. They're not quite sure where they're aiming. They can be scattered affection and confusion and dissipation of effort because I don't quite know who am I. And we need a father to say, sit down, I'll tell you who you are. Let me blow away all the other voices. Let me, the only one that matters, let me tell you who you are. And when you get it from him, it doesn't, then all the other voices that clamor don't matter. It's like, you can say what you want. Sticks and stones will break my bones. But the one that matters most, the one with the ultimate value, he's already defined me. So, me, I mean, you know, it's just kind of like, it just doesn't really matter anymore. Identity determines behavior. Can we say that together? Identity determines. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, he said, but you, I love that. But you, in verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. But you are a chosen. Can you say chosen? You could have woken up this morning feeling like a nerd and a worm. I don't want to get out of bed. I'm no good. There's the voice of the enemy. How often does he come, incidentally? Night and day, the accuser. So therefore, we got to be in the Father's face night and day and say, all right, the enemy's been lying today, so you talk to me. And we open up his word, and we allow Father to talk to us a little bit to cancel out the negative voices. But it says, but you are a chosen. Say chosen. Say, I'm chosen. And the Father looks down and goes, I want you on my team. Hey, I want you in the starting role. Shouldn't you be in the starting role of your own life? Wasn't that one of the lines in that movie, The Holiday? Shouldn't I be the leading lady of my own life? You're chosen. Really? I wouldn't have chosen me. Doesn't matter. You don't define you. He does. He's putting value on you. So humility would say, I'll submit to his opinion and his definition. You are chosen. And if it means getting in the mirror and say, Jethro, you've chosen. You are handpicked, selected before the foundation of the world. Chosen. Matter of fact, when we walk around and see one another, we ought to go, hey there, chosen of God. Hey there, yo, holy nation. Yo, royal priesthood right there, royal. It's just good, out of our mouth. God told Joshua 1:8, don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. And as we meditate on it, he'll make our way successful. Out of our mouth, chosen. Yeah. Royal. I don't feel royal, but if God says you are, you are. Holy. And then Peter says, a people belonging to God. Belonging to God. When you're at a point you can't drive your own life, it's okay. Go limp in his arms. He'll drive. I belong to him. Drive, Dad, drive. A little sleepy, Dad. Can you take the wheel? Oh, I've been wanting to do it. Been wanting to drive. Belonging to God. Also in verse 10, once you were not, what? A people. But now you are the people of God. Your situation may not have been as drastic as Nikki Six, but there's still things that can affect who we think we are, but it's no match for the grace of God. There's no depth that stumps God's grace and his outstretched arms, you see. But we build this into our psyche. Our adoption as sons and daughters, guys, it changes everything. Our adoption. See, the neat thing about adopted children is their parents said, I want you. I choose you. It's kind of like these ads in the paper, you know, for sale, 7 cute little puppies and 1 little ugly one. Everyone wants the ugly one. They just, you know, just the idea of how it's framed. It's just like, oh, there's just something adorable then, whatever that means, the ugly one. Huh. Adoption. God chooses us. It changes everything. You know, many documents of membership, regardless of what the membership is for. Many documents contain the inclusive words, with all of its rights and privileges herein. I'm a member of so-and-so, with all of its rights and privileges therein or herein. With all of its rights and privileges, belonging, family, changes everything. You and I have been given an honorable name. We don't have to revolt and rebel because our Father hasn't left us. We don't have to be insecure or confused or deficit in regard to who we believe we really are. Our Father hasn't left us. God actually said He would never leave us and never forsake us. God declared that over Joshua. Never leave you. Never forsake you. We find it in Deuteronomy 13. We find it quoted again in Hebrews 13. It's in Deuteronomy 31. In Hebrews 13. Never leave you nor forsake you. We don't have to spin into orbit creating havoc because we are broken in regard to our identity. No. We're adopted. And we're sealed with His Spirit. And no one can snatch us out of His hand. We act out on who we believe we are. We act out on who we really believe we are. We act it out. And that's why it's important to get in these epistles or to get into the Psalms, to get into the Word of God and allow Him to speak over you, His great big heart over you. It swallows junk. It swallows mess. It absorbs mess. It discounts lies. Lies are everywhere. Do y'all realize there are people all in your life that want to define you? Circumstances want to define you. There are all kind of things that are volunteering. I'll define you. I'll tell you what you're not. And we have got to give God at least equal time to tell us what we are, to tell us whom we are. You see, if we don't feel loved, we won't act loved. If we don't feel secure, we will act insecure. As a man thinketh in his heart, if we think we are loved and belong, we won't be crippled by chronic insecurity. We won't be driven and be a tortured soul. We'll be at peace. What do you believe? What do you believe? Oh, I love John 1:12. Oh, I love it. Yet to all those who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right, with all rights and privileges, He gave the right to become children of God. See, that's not exclusive. That's freely open to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Yet to those who received Him, why wouldn't anyone receive Him? To those who believe on His name, He gives the right, the power to become child of God. That's who you are, child of God. Doesn't matter what you were before, you become a child of God as you believe in His name. Then you are baptized into that name. Adoption is an amazing thing. God now actually becomes our Father. He's our Creator by existence. He's our Father by our choice to receive Him. You see, He's everyone's Creator, but He's not yet everyone's Father. This is a situation where we get to choose our parents, but in reality, He's choosing us and gives us the ability to choose Him because He's sovereign. He gives us the ability to say yes. You say, I said, yeah, I found the Lord. Well, He wasn't lost, huh? You know, He comes after us. He finds us. But it's God that gives us the ability, the desire to say yes. So I don't want Him merely to be Creator to me. I want Him to be my Father. I don't want to miss out on what's available. Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. You say, prove that. How do you prove that? You just know in your knower. You know, I know I'm saved. Prove it. I mean, there's nothing sadder than someone that says, I don't really know. I have this fear of death because I don't really know. There are plenty of religions where you can't know. How can you live up under the fuzziness of not knowing? It'll shut you down. It'll cripple someone. It'll cause people to strive and to try to perform to earn some status where God goes, no, I came down on your level to bring you up to where I am. And so you just say, yes, I do the work of grace. There's a witness. I am a child of God. So to whom do we belong? Whose name do we believe in? Whose name are we baptized in? Whose name, power of attorney, do we pray in? Jesus said, take up my name, cast out devils. Take up my name, lay hands on the sick. In my name, do these things. The power of attorney. I'm giving you my name. You can write checks on my name, as it were. I'm giving you the authority to do acts in my name because you're connected to me in a right way. You have the right to do it. You've signed the signature card at the bank. You have the right to make demands, to make withdrawals in my name. It's as if he's a co-signer on what we do in the way of righteous acts, you see. Similarly, Galatians 4, 4 through 7, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive what? The full rights of sons. Full rights. You say, what does that mean? Study it out. Study it out. Study it out. Could it be that when he wipes away every tear, could it be that when we see what we could have had, but we live beneath it here on the earth? Full rights. An inheritance that doesn't spoil, perish, or fade away, Peter says, but reserved in heaven for you. Full rights as sons. Full rights. No second-class citizens in the kingdom. No, no, no. Full rights. Shoulders back. Head up. Not cocky, but confident. Full rights. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Isn't that amazing? He sent that Spirit of sonship. He sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So because you are no longer a slave but a son, and since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. See, sonship is a marvelous thing. You can tell people that have grown up with security, and you can feel it when someone has grown up and they don't feel that security. And here's the thing, we don't choose our background, we don't choose our parents, and that would be a dismal reality if that's all there was. But now, through Christ, God adopts us and gives us that same spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then those people we used to observe, that it just seems they're just so whole, seems they're so secure, it just seems they're not riddled and obsessed with who they are. You know, identity's not an issue somehow. For them, there was something put in them early somehow that they just don't seem to struggle with those kinds of things. God, our Father, can do that to every one of us, to have that kind of stability. God wants to do it. It's a marvelous thing. Belonging is powerful. Proper identity is powerful. I mean, next time we go through customs at an airport and they ask to see our papers, let's just pull out, you know, John 1:12. Here are my papers. You know, Galatians 4. Here are my papers. Here's who I is. You know, it's funny. People get fidgety about the notion of predestination in a wrong sense. But there is a Bible sense and concept that's powerful and builds security in those who believe. Go to Ephesians 1. Again, y'all, these letters will wash over you like a warm bath. I mean, there are those that have been out in life cold and crusty and hurt, and wounds not yet healed. These letters, it's just like someone just pouring you a hot bath. I mean, this is the heart of our God. This is the heart of our Father. Ephesians 1, 4. For he, what? Chose us in him. What, yesterday? A minute ago? No, before the creation of the world. He chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he, what? Predestined us. You say you believe in predestination? Huh? He predestined us, what? To be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. His pleasure. He's not gritting his teeth to be kind to us. Oh, it's his pleasure. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he, what? Lavished on us. Is he stingy? Oh, no, no, no. That he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. Verse 11, in him we were also, what? Chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Again, Danielle Steele, move over. You can't touch this. I mean, I'm going to pull an MC Hammer right now. Can't touch this. You can't. This is not flowery rhetoric. This is not just poetry. This is the heart of a benevolent, gracious Father that will love the devil right out of anyone who meditates on this night and day. That'll love dysfunction. That'll get the love tank up. That'll break off wrong concepts and lies and accusations and deficits. That will level us off. Just staying in that. Is that real? Oh, yeah. He's predestined that you be conformed to the image of his son. He's granted you, by his foreknowledge, adoption into the family. Woo-hoo! Ephesians 3, go over a chapter, two chapters. Verse 14. Paul said, for this reason, I kneel before whom? Not a tyrant, not a CEO, not some distant entity. You know, people talk about deism that God created and just kind of moved off. He's indifferent. Oh, no, nothing could be further from the truth. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and he is intimately acquainted with our ways. Paul said, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole, what? You see the paradigm Paul is using here? One of a family, one of love, one of safety, one of care, one of belonging, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded, established in what? In love, may have power together with all saints to grasp, to fathom how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I love verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's like, come on, Paul, can we know it or does it surpass knowledge? Can we know it or can we? In other words, in other words, what he's saying is if you'll just start and get a few little glimpses, because you can't comprehend it totally on earth. Even in heaven, our world will be rocked. Well, we will not be bored there or cavalier or indifferent. He said, that you could know this love that surpasses. In other words, you're not going to ever comprehend it, but if you could just start scraping the surface just a little bit. Y'all, it didn't take but one little drop of heaven to rock your world. I mean, God gives us a little dippity-doo and we just come apart. You wait. I mean, I appreciate pockets of revival, but you wait. That's not even an appetizer to what's coming on the earth. Just a little drop can rock a city. And he hadn't hardly begun yet. And that's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. But Paul was praying that you would have this, the knowledge of this love, which, by the way, you just can't ever completely. It's almost illogical. It's so other. But it'll change you and it'll change me. And here's the thing. If we're deficient in this, live in these letters. Live in these letters. Live in these letters. Wow, this letter of Paul reveals such an inheritance for us who believe. Let these scriptures saturate our brokenness. May we marinate in them and allow them to change us from the inside out. In closing, let me ask us on this Father's Day. Number one, who am I? Secondly, whose am I? Thirdly, what am I here for? Fourthly, where am I going? Without God, those could be heavy, deep questions. With God, it's already decided. It doesn't have to be heavy, deep, and real. The answers, it's like we're cheating. It's an open book test. Who am I? I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Hawaii. I'll find out. If I'm miserable here, when I get there, I'll be miserable there because I got to live with myself there. People all their lives are looking for love in all the wrong places, as the country song goes. Who am I? It's an open book. The answers are here. Whose am I? If we don't know, we'll act like we don't know. Nikki, why'd you change your name? Because my dad walked out. Why should I take it? Our God is stubborn in bearing down on us. Even when we're faithless, he's faithful. Now, we're finicky. Someone rejects us, we say, to heck with you. God's not insecure. We reject him. He goes, all right, I can take it. I can take it. It's like people that say, if there's a God in heaven, let me strike me down. As if God's so insecure to go, okay, He's secure in who he is. So even though we reject him, he's okay. And he's measured out time. There are those mystic reformers that referred to him as the hound of heaven. He just keeps coming, keeps pursuing. In the midst of our mess, who am I? Whose am I? What am I here for? Where am I going? Again, first, who am I? Again, the person like Nikki who doesn't know who they are will forever try to prove themselves in unhealthy ways because they're making up for a vacuum, a void. I don't really know. So here's the starting point. You say, what do I do if I don't really know? The first thing we do is say, I don't really know, and I'm going to be secure in my insecurity. But I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to start reading, and I'm going to get in these letters. I'm going to let him wash me and fill my tank. You can walk away, and then the next minute, you guys still feel like a nerd. It's all right. You just keep filling up. You keep declaring it. You keep looking in the mirror and going, chosen. After a while, the nickel will break. Keep saying, I'm the people belonging to God. royal, holy. I'm just saying there's power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We need to treat one another that way. Hey there, holy nation. Yo, you the righteousness of God in Christ. Who am I? Secondly, whose am I? If we can answer this, our security, our identity, our position in life can never be threatened. A heavenly Father who's loving has already provided proper definition. He's already defined it. We don't have to be creative. Thirdly, what am I here for? To express myself and fulfill myself? Or is there a higher and nobler purpose? Fourthly, where am I going? Well, I believe if you've answered 1, 2, and 3 properly, number 4 takes care of itself. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. Why? Because your identity will determine your direction. Your identity determines your direction. I don't know what next year looks like. It's okay. He does. I don't know what next week looks like. It's okay. Your identity determines your direction. A father will not allow a son to go aimless. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't ask and inquire, seek, knock, and ask. The answer to your identity determines your direction. It is a game changer, for it's now in God's hands. Your Father. Your Father. God doesn't make mistakes. Who am I? Whose am I? What am I here for? Where am I going? All of that is answered in God. So it makes it easy on us. He's a great leader. We're called just to be hearty followers. It's not a thing of, are you a great leader? No, are you a grand follower? Do you cling to your dad? When you're insecure, what do you cling to? When you have a bad day, do we go run to the bar or do we cling to some promises? When we're violated, when we're rejected, do we go off to an illicit relationship or do we cling to dad and say, Dad, I'm hurting right now. I got some real pain. Speak to me. Define me. Tell me who I am. Ooh, and he'll do it. He'll do it. He's that kind of a dad. Can we stand up? Here's the deal. Are there father wounds? Oh, gosh, the nation's full of it. Sure. There are people that are less than a proper representation of our Heavenly Father, but it's okay. It's okay. We're not intimidated by our brokenness. Our gaze is on the Lord. We're not intimidated by what we didn't receive. Oh, the parent I didn't have. Oh, it was less than ideal. Y'all, such is the condition of the human existence. But it's like, in spite of that, there's one that changeth not. There's one that will satisfy. There's only one that will complete me. Jerry Maguire had it all wrong. It wasn't the girl. We look at the Lord and we say, you complete me. You complete me. So, Father, we just thank you. And we just declare, our confession is today that you are an amazing dad. And we just thank you today for adoption. We didn't choose you, but you chose us. And you've granted us the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And Lord, every one of us here are lacking in some regards. Some of us have come out of less than ideal situations and upbringing. Some of us came out of hellacious upbringings. Lord, some of us here had good role models in our dad. Some had very poor role models in our dad. But nonetheless, Lord, we thank you that we can appeal to a heavenly Father that'll make it all right. So, Lord, whatever we had, whatever we didn't have, that's not the end of the equation. We can go to you for definition. We can go to you for wholeness and healing. And you said that if we come to you, you'll in no wise cast us out. Can you just lift your hands to the Lord today? Lord, we just wrap our arms around your neck. And, Lord, there are times where we don't have the strength to do what we need to, but you'll hold us. But, Lord, you're just merely looking. Is there a reach in you? And so, Lord, we pray, carry us, take us, heal us, redeem us, save us, define us. And we pray that your definition will dispel the lies. Now, some of you need to come out of agreement with even self-rejection. Maybe there's not been an issue of an authority that has spoken that over you. But it could just be life, or it just could be left to yourself. an idle mind can be the enemy's workshop, where there's just been a self-deprecation. And just say, I refuse to define even myself. I give up the right to define myself. You may think, oh, I've always been that way. Oh, that'll never change. Oh, but with God, all things are possible. With men, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So, Lord, we give up our right to even define ourselves. And we ask you, because you're the dad, you're the head of the house, you're the head of the family, you define me. Define me. Just tell them in your heart, define me. Speak to me. Fill me. Fill me with the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, Abba. Fill me with the spirit of sonship. Satisfy the longings of my heart. Satisfy the broken places. I will not be defined by these other things. Thank you for being a safe God and a gracious Father, an amazing Redeemer. Lord, we declare beauty for ashes. Thank you. Thank you. Fill our tank. 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 Just wait before him just for a moment. Just tell him just to fill you. Lord, just fill us. Wash us. Lord, let that presence come upon our hearts. Sonship. Sonship. Belonging. Belonging. An inheritance that never perishes, spoils, or fades away. Deep security. Deep abiding security. Deep abiding love. Deep abiding love. Just as we're in this time of prayer, if you're here today, you don't know the Lord, I want you to come up and meet me. I want to pray for you if you've not yet met him as your Father. But for the rest of us, let's just turn to one another before we go and just say, how can I pray for you? And just pray this revelation over one another. Just pray that over one another's hearts, and then you're dismissed. You don't know the Lord, come up. I want to pray with you. The rest of us, let's just turn to a neighbor and just pray this message over one another. Deep security, deep love, gracious identity, a loving Father on Father's Day. Encounter the Father afresh today. Encounter his heart and love afresh today.